Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got some interesting material you sent over, focusing on, well, the quality of health research publications and editorials specifically.
Right.
And our mission today, let's call it, is to sort of unpack how the research world is tackling quality and transparency, give you a bit of a shortcut, really, to understanding how we ensure research reporting is reliable.
Yeah, it's a huge topic. And that editorial, it really paints a picture of this just vast amount of research flooding out there now, especially in the 21st century.
It's a lot.
It is. And trying to navigate all that information, well, it can feel pretty overwhelming, I imagine. The editorial points that out clearly.
Exactly. And it's not just, you know, was the study designed well? That's vital, obviously.
Of course.
But this piece highlights that research quality also depends heavily on how well it's actually written up, the report itself, and even the journal it appears in.
That's a great point. Like having a brilliant idea, but explaining it poorly.
Right. And transparency is at the core, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The editorial really hammers this home. If researchers aren't crystal clear about exactly what they did, how they did it, what they found,
then how can anyone judge it?
Precisely. You can't assess the quality properly. And things like replication, trying the study again to see if you get the same results, forget it.
Impossible without the full picture. Like building IKEA furniture with half the instructions missing.
Exactly like that. So transparency isn't just nice to have, it's fundamental.
Okay, so this editorial mentioned something called the Equator Network quite a bit.
Okay.
What is that exactly?
Yes. Equator. It stands for Enhancing the Quality and Transparency of Health Research. Bit of a mouthful. Yeah. But essentially, it's this big international initiative. Their whole goal is to make health research more reliable, more useful, by pushing for better reporting.
How do they do that?
Primarily through developing and promoting reporting guidelines. Think of them as best practice checklists for writing up different kinds of studies.
Guidelines. Like rules for writing.
Sort of, yeah. More like detailed recommendations. The editorial notes, they have over 600 of these guidelines listed on their website.
600, wow.
Yeah, equator-network.org is the place. And it's constantly being updated, too, as research methods change and evolve.
So there's probably a guideline for almost any type of health study you can imagine.
That's the idea. From clinical trials to observational studies to systematic reviews, they cover a lot of ground.
Okay, 600 is a lot. Do researchers need to know all of them?
Oh, definitely not. No, no. The idea is you find the specific guideline that matches your study design.
Right.
And here's where it connects back to the editorial and journals like Health and Caring. They often endorse these guidelines.
Endorse how?
Well, many journals now either strongly recommend or actually require authors to use the relevant Equator guideline when they submit their paper.
Ah, so it's becoming part of the standard process.
Very much so. It's shifting from a nice to do to often a must do.
Okay, that makes sense. It imposes a kind of structure. Could we maybe look at an example, make it a bit more concrete?
Absolutely. The editorial brings up STROBE. That's STROBE.
Okay.
It stands for Strengthening the Reporting of Observational Studies in Epidemiology. So it's specifically for reporting things like cross-sectional studies, you know, those snapshot in time studies.
Got it. Observational study.
Yeah. And the editorial mentions how the full STROBE guideline itself has been published widely, like in 8 different journals for one specific version they cite.
8 journals. That really shows it's accepted, doesn't it?
It really does. Shows widespread buy-in to these standards.
So how does STROBE actually work for a researcher writing up their study? What do they do with it?
Okay, so STROBE comes with a checklist, a list of items that should be reported.
Right.
For example, one item might be setting. This prompts the author to clearly state, say, in the methods section, where the study happened and the exact dates they collected data.
In that.
Then, on the checklist itself, the author actually writes down the page number in their manuscript where they addressed that specific item. So next to setting, they might put page 3.
Ah, okay. So it guides the author, make sure you cover this. And it helps the reader or reviewer find that info quickly, like an index for the key details.
Exactly. It's a map to the crucial information. And the editorial points out that for the Health and Caring Journal, authors actually have to submit this completed checklist along with their manuscript.
That's very practical. It ensures the guideline isn't just, you know, suggested, but actively used.
It really bridges the gap between having a standard and implementing it. Makes the whole process more transparent for everyone, authors, reviewers, editors, readers.
Okay, so that's observational studies. What about other types? The editorial mentioned review articles briefly. Are there guidelines for those too?
Oh, yes, definitely. Reviews are crucial for synthesizing evidence. The editorial highlights scoping reviews, for instance.
Scoping reviews. Different from systematic reviews.
Yes, slightly different purpose and method. And for those, there's the PRISMA SCIRE checklist. That's PRISMA, extension for scoping reviews.
Another acronym.
Huh. Yes, the field loves its acronyms. But PRISMA itself, the main PRISMA statement, is for systematic reviews. The STR is just a specific extension for scoping reviews.
Okay.
And you can find these on the PRISMA website, usually linked from Equator 2. The editorial mentions the Trico paper from 2018 for the PRISMA SCIRE.
So the key thing for an author doing any kind of review is to first identify what kind it is.
Precisely.
Systematic, scoping, maybe something else. And then find the right PRISMA guideline or extension.
You've got it. Matching the study type to the correct guideline is step one. It ensures you're following the relevant reporting standards.
Right tool for the right job.
Exactly.
We've talked about what these are, how they work. But let's zoom out a bit. What are the actual benefits? Why should, you know, someone listening care about Equator and Strobe and PRISMA?
That's the crucial question, isn't it? The editorial lays out a few key benefits, and they all sort of funnel towards more trustworthy, usable health research.
Right.
First, for authors and journals, using these guidelines just flat out improves the quality and the transparency of the papers submitted.
How so?
Well, following the checklist makes it much less likely that authors will accidentally leave out crucial details about their methods or findings. Everything is clearer, more complete.
Which makes it easier for others to understand and maybe even replicate the study.
Exactly. Reproducibility and interpretation both get a boost. That's huge for scientific progress. And for you, trying to understand if a finding is relevant to your health.
Makes sense. What about the reviewers, the people checking these papers before publication? Must be a tough job.
It is. And the editorial points out these guidelines actually streamline their work.
Oh.
Instead of hunting through a dense paper for, say, how participants were selected, they can just look at the checklist, see participants page 4, and go right there.
Ah, saves them time and effort.
A lot of time. It helps them focus on the substance of the research rather than digging for basic reporting elements. This can speed up the whole review process.
Faster processing. Maybe a better chance of getting published, too, if the paper is well reported from the start.
That's what the editorial suggests, yes. Submitting a manuscript that clearly follows the relevant guideline signals thoroughness. It shows you've taken the reporting seriously.
So it's kind of a win-win. Authors get clearer guidance, produce better reports, maybe get published faster.
And reviewers have an easier time. Journals get higher quality submissions.
And ultimately, the reader gets more reliable information.
That's the goal. It supports best practices across the board. It's all about building a stronger foundation for health knowledge.
Okay, so wrapping this part up, this editorial really underscores that the Equator Network, with guidelines like Strobe and PrismaScore, isn't just some bureaucratic layer. It's a vital set of tools.
Absolutely vital for improving the quality, the transparency, the reliability of health research publications.
And that benefits everyone. Researchers building on the work, clinicians applying it, and, well, all of us trying to make informed health decisions.
Precisely. Clear, transparent reporting helps build trust in the research process and its findings.
So here's something to think about then, maybe for our listeners to mull over.
Yeah.
We know these detailed guidelines exist. Journals are pushing for them, sometimes we're requiring them.
Right.
What do you think are the biggest ongoing challenges in making sure all published research actually meets these standards in practice? I mean, having the rules is one thing.
But consistent application is another. That's a really important point.
Yeah. It seems like there must still be hurdles, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you've got factors like simple awareness. Do all researchers even know the right guideline exists for their study type?
Good point. Training, maybe?
Training is huge. Knowing how to use the guideline effectively isn't always straightforward. And then there's the peer review process itself. How rigorously do reviewers check compliance?
And maybe pressure to publish quickly sometimes gets in the way.
That can be a factor too. Plus, resources at journals to enforce these standards thoroughly. It's definitely a complex ecosystem with ongoing work needed.
It's not a solved problem, even with great tools like Equator.
Not completely solved, no. But these guidelines represent a massive step forward in the right direction. Continuous effort is key.
Well, this has been fascinating. Really helps to get a handle on how the quality control works, or at least how it's supposed to work in health research. Knowing this stuff definitely helps you be a smarter reader of health news.
Hopefully, yeah. Understanding the process behind the headlines is always valuable.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll catch you next time.